Granddad? Well, he's a bit funny. He sometimes even makes me laugh.
He always brings us presents.
My nan always makes me laugh by doing funny things at dinner time and lunchtime.
The Generation Game on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.
This week, we're looking at getting the most out of your grandchildren. Our survey of listeners showed that one in five grandparents wanted more contact with their grandchildren. And today, we're trying out the simple idea which could help you. Today is Text Your Grandchild Day. We've been asking you to have a go. Send a quick text to a grandchild and see what sort of response you get, if any. Because you know how busy they are. Here's Pat in Crowborough who says, I texted our two eldest grandchildren to tell them we love them, and we've had replies back from both straight away. So they can stay on your Christmas card list. They might even get a present if they're good. So in a moment, we'll be talking to a lady described as the granny guru to look at the best ways of keeping in touch, from high tech to the very old fashioned. But first, we challenged Elizabeth to give it a go. Now, she's never used her mobile to send a text before, so we got her twin grandsons to help her send her first text. Here's how they got on.
Phone, Jim. Where's the phone?
I'm Stuart Headlam, and the mobile phone isn't just about talking these days, oh no. Look at any group of kids, and the chances are they're communicating with the written word alone. And I bet Shakespeare never saw that one coming.
We've got to get it organised. We need two phones, don't we? And one phone.
Text messaging is the new power of speech, but if you don't know your LOLs from your collection of colons, you need a mobile phone, a supple thumb, and a pair of eyes. Preferably your own.
Create a message. I understand that. That's like getting your pen, pencil out, and write. Click again. Okay, so all right.
Basically, it has the alphabet on the numbers as well.
The simplest way to write a text message is to type each letter individually. Every key on the keypad has three letters on it. Press the key once to get the first letter, twice to get the second, and three times to get the third.
You have to press the five twice, because it's the second letter in the row.
The trouble with text is that it's hard to add any intonation. This is where emoticons come in. No, emoticons aren't transforming robot toys from the 80s, but human faces made up of letters and punctuation marks.
Have a space. Can I have a space?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the space?
I don't know. I think it's that.
Try that. Oh, yes, that's it.
There are also some commonly used initials. The most common of these is probably LOL, which stands for laugh or laughing out loud. But you might also come across ROTFL, which stands for rolling on the floor laughing, or IMHO, which stands for in my humble opinion.
That's not what I expected.
I'm going to say love, because I love her, because she's my friend. Now that's L there. Oh, bring it back, bring the picture back. Yeah.
Now go work those thumbs.
Click this, the green button. Just click OK.
Yeah.
And click on sound. And then you put the number in here.
All of that just to get a little dot after my thing. No wonder I want to pick up the phone and talk to somebody. I think if I was giving a message, I'd probably start at 9:30 and finish at 11:15 and have a cup of coffee. Oh, bless you both. Give us a kiss. And you. Kiss you on your brains. You're very good. That is the first message I've ever sent. Because normally, if I like to speak to my friends, you know, so I just ring them up. Because we were brought up with that, weren't we? This is your technology, your age. But Grandpa's learnt it, but I don't have the need for it. But I would know what to do, wouldn't I, now?
So that's Elizabeth having a go at texting. I'm not sure she loved it, to be honest with you. Now, Elizabeth's son-in-law, John Potter, is with me in the studio now. John's from a company called Company Paradiso, a charity based in Brighton, and has been helping us with our Generation Game this week. Hi, John.
Good morning.
I'm not sure texting is for mother-in-law, is it?
I think probably not. She's got Jim always, and that's the thing. She can always hand over to him.
Okay, get him to do the hard work. Why should she bother? The boys, though, were they quite patient with her?
Very patient, very good, yeah. And they went back to the, you know, that phone where you have to type, you know, press one twice for B, and although, you know, it's hard work.
Yeah, okay, it's quite a delicate operation, the texting, isn't it? So I'm not sure that's for everybody, is it? But it's one of the ways of keeping in touch these days. And how important is that?
It's very important, I think. I mean, this is inspired by my son, really, who will never pick up his phone. He's 17. So for the last few years, I've been texting him. And that is the way to get through to him. And there are, unfortunately, no other ways of getting through. Texting, he will reply. And I think this is the key thing, the key message, which is if you want to reply, texting is a great way of doing it. Because very often, you will get a quick reply.
Albeit brief.
Albeit brief, but some messages can be very brief, like good luck in the exams, welcome home, or whatever. I found the recipe.
Is Elizabeth going to continue to have a go at the texting, do you think? Has she had a go since the boys taught her?
We tried her while we were away. We did text her from Mallorca,
yeah.
But it was Jim who replied.
There you go. You see, you can't please everybody all the time, can you? It's horses for course, I suppose, isn't it? Elizabeth prefers to speak to her friends, and many people say, I don't blame her.
Yes, that's right. I know. And I think there are other forms of social media which are growing, which are much easier, which give you FaceTime. And I think that might suit someone like Elizabeth much more.
Yes. Now, that's the next step in technology, isn't it? But also a real revolution, because being able to see your relatives, especially if they're distant, is quite something. So if you're using Skype or FaceTime or one of those things, we can actually see the person on a video call. I mean, that was the stuff of science fiction when we were young, John, unthinkable perhaps for our grandparents, but here it is, reality, and you can have it in the palm of your hand. Any progress on that front with mother and father-in-law?
No, I'm afraid not. No. Yes, I mean, that's
for another
time. Their generation.
Stay with us, if you will, John. Juliet Hambro is founder of AskGranny.com, a website for seniors and grandparents, and joins us now. Hi, Juliet.
Hi there.
And we're using a little bit of technology to be in touch with you today, I understand.
You are indeed. And I have to say, I agree with John very much. I think that texting is okay for some generations. I'm not quite sure about my generation. I think we, probably most of us, feel a bit like Elizabeth, and we want to see our grandchildren. I certainly want to see them, so I'm always very happy to see them on Skype or FaceTime. I think that's a little bit easier for us than trying to work out the texting.
Yeah, we're talking to you on the old-fashioned telephone today, which seems to be doing its job perfectly well. But you live, you're abroad at the moment, is that right?
I'm in Spain at the moment, pouring with rain. So that will be happy news, perhaps, for all those in the UK. But pouring down, belting down. But no, because I'm in Spain and because I like to keep in touch with my grandchildren, I have tried to learn, how to use Skype and FaceTime, and I think the consistency and the continuity is a very important thing. So it's important to perhaps get in touch, once a week, Saturdays. Texting is a bit complicated also because they're at school during the day, and so one really has to wait till they come home in the evening, doesn't one?
Yeah. Now, how much time will they afford you when you try and Skype or FaceTime them, Juliet? I mean, because the way I use it sometimes with my daughters, say if they've been off at university, it's like we just set it up and then we'll spend maybe 20 minutes doing what we're doing around our houses anyway, but having that conversation and occasionally appearing in front of the camera. And so life doesn't stop for this call. It's almost like you've been injected into the room for a period of time.
That's correct. I think it depends. Let me talk about my 10-year-old. If she's interested in what I've got to say, which could be, what is there anything special you'd like for Christmas, or keep going to the postbox and see if there's something inside that Granny's posted you, because I think that's very important to continue sending little gifts through the post. I know my 10-year-old really looks forward to that when she comes out of school. So sometimes the conversation can go on for about half an hour, and she seems to be very happy if her granny in Spain is suggesting all sorts of nice things that she could look forward to receiving.
Yeah, but you can't go on with the bribes the whole time. So, and actually, we've spoken a lot about what it gives the grandchildren in terms of their ability to stay in touch with you. What about you? What does it give you, having this close contact from some distance apart?
Well, I think it gives me... Well, of course, it gives me a lot, particularly as you know, I'm away. I have one grandchild in the UK and I have another grandchild in Switzerland. So it's, of course, social media is very important for me. It gives me a great deal because particularly the older one, the little one is not, she's not yet two, so obviously the relationship is slightly different. But the, I know that the 10-year-old really feels very close to me because she feels that I'm, I don't know, I feel that I'm getting her life and she's very keen to come and stay with me, so she gives me a lot to look forward to, I have to say. Probably more than she has to look forward to, but I have a lot to look forward to each time I've spoken to her because we're always planning for Granny to receive a visit from her. When this is very important, I think.
Give us a good piece of advice to leave us with Juliet in the rain there in Spain. give us an idea of where people should start. If they want to really engage with their grandchildren by some form of communication, if they're not close by, what should they do?
Remember that a letter, something, receiving something in the post, let's forget social media for a moment, is something all grandchildren of all ages look forward to. That's a good start.
Thank you very much, Juliet. Juliet Hambro, founder of AskGranny.com, and John Potter, just finally with you. So, Elizabeth, your mum-in-law, are you quite happy if she stays with the telephoning business, with the your two boys who are 12?
Very happy. As it happens, she lives very close by. And what she's able to do is spend time with her grandchildren, which is wonderful. And they have a special relationship. And I think that's partly to do with the fact that they have the kind of similar pace. They're not in the working world, and when they get together, they can share time that's got a kind of momentum that is a settled momentum that really suits both of them.
Every day when I go to my grandma's house, I go to the playground.
They're so bossy because they get me to do every chore.
He's nearly 200.
No, he's not.
There he is.
No, there he is.
The Generation Game on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.
All this week, we're celebrating those relationships where there's a big age gap between the two parties. Now, often, that's a grandparent's relationship with a grandchild. In fact, in just over half an hour's time, we're going to hear a conversation that I recorded of my little boy talking to his granddad, my father. But of course, with so many families living far apart nowadays, that relationship, but with a big age gap, doesn't always have to be between a grandparent and a grandchild. This afternoon, we're meeting Antonia, who's 83, and her good friend Blanca, who's 26. Now, they've known each other for a few years now. Antonia describes Blanca as her Czech granddaughter. Antonia doesn't see so much of her own grandchildren, mainly because they're so busy. Well, we've invited Antonia and Blanca into the studio this afternoon to talk a little bit more about this idea of having surrogate grandchildren. But before we meet them, we eavesdropped on one of their conversations recently. Here they are discussing Antonia's upcoming birthday party.
When you're 83, you've got such freedom, I can't tell you, Blanca, such freedom to behave like a dirty old lady.
Dirty old lady.
And that is so good. I mean, I've been practicing to be a dirty old lady all my life.
Oh, yeah.
I can see you're going to be a dotty old lady too.
Yeah. I wish I could be the same in your age.
Being able to say what you bloody well like is so relaxing. Now, who's coming to my party? I don't know. You?
Yeah.
And
I don't know about
Evelyn from London.
And Paula.
Paula's coming, I think, yes.
Remember last, it was
she
last year,
anyway.
The year before, when she's got very drunk and she took George's coat and they couldn't get home because they didn't have the car keys.
She got very drunk, you know.
Yeah. So George came?
George has just got a job on Crossrail.
Oh, wow.
You know Crossrail?
You don't see them much, do you?
Mm.
You don't see them. They know.
I don't see my grandchildren very much. No, George came for a couple of hours in the summer, which was very nice.
Mm.
And then he comes two or three times a year to have tea and cakes.
I can't remember the first party.
Well, it must have been 8 years ago. It must have been when I was about 75, I had a big party.
it's really nice going to a party because it's in the winter, and in the winter people don't do much parties.
Well, that's what before it is. Christmas, they want to cheer up in November.
Yeah.
I had a good sense to be born in November.
Yeah.
I was very premature. I should have been born in February, but I think November is a better time to be born for parties.
How are you feeling, and how's because you weren't very well sometimes.
My health. Oh, my general health is very good. I'm going to live to be 110.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but everything that's wrong with me is to do with the way I was born. Which
yeah, because you're cerebral palsy all year. But you're doing so well, you know. I mean, you had...
What?
You've done loads of things. Even you've been travelling with your condition, everything.
I've done some terrible things.
I know you did terrible things, but not at the moment. You
but
feel
I've
much...
done a few good things by mistake. I seek distraction.
Yeah, that's
in
good.
People and in conversation and in gossip.
Lovely. I'm thrilled to say Antonia and Blanca joined me in the studio this afternoon. I can certainly vouch for the fact that Antonia has most definitely reached an age where you just say what you want to say, because you told me in no uncertain terms what you made of the Jackson 5 and their music a little bit earlier, which tickled me. Talk me through how the two of you met. Blanca, maybe you can explain.
I met Antonia through my friend Milena, who was looking after Antonia, and Antonia had a dog and she needed somebody to walk the dog, so her friend asked me, so then I went to Antonia's house and walked the dog, and kind of we met.
Aww.
I was there quite almost every day, so we kind of became closer.
Yeah. Why do you think, Antonia, you get on so well, the two of you?
Oh, because we laugh at the same things. And because we don't feel any age gap between us, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I look about 140.
Not at all.
I mean, I'm wrinkled very early. I look like an old prune. But never mind. Inside, I'm 25, dear.
Absolutely.
15.
Do people ever confuse you for being real family, for being related?
I think they do a little bit, because I was there quite a lot. People think we are kind of like related, yeah.
Yeah, so they automatically assume that your granddaughter and
something,
grandma.
Well,
I've got a Slovak granddaughter as well, but Blanca is a very special surrogate granddaughter.
Aww.
And I love having these Eastern European connections, because I feel a citizen of the world.
Absolutely.
And I think it's very, very important that we should all get on, and I've been very grateful for this Eastern European connection, which happened about 8 or 9 years ago when I put a notice on a post office notice board, and it said wanted some nice person to look out to clean for me. And I got Milena's friend Ivana, and then through Ivana I met Blanca, and then
and the friendship
I met a lot of Eastern Europeans, and they're my very beloved Eastern European connection.
Aww. And Blanca, what do you get out of seeing Antonia? What do you gain from the friendship?
Because I don't have any grandmothers, and because I'm far away from my family all the time, it's quite nice to have somebody, like, you know, close,
of course,
or somebody older. I go missing not having grandmothers, because I think when you're older, it's quite nice to have, you understand more your grandparents when you're little. It's like,
and also you can learn a lot, can't you, from the older
exactly.
generation?
Yeah. So I find it really nice, and I really, because Antonia's dog died, so I'm not going there as often as I want to. So I'm quite missing having a tea and stuff in the afternoon.
What do you think you've learnt from Antonia?
Well, the sense of humour. She's got a wicked sense of humour. So I think just because of her condition with her...
Swear words.
as well.
We won't go into that, I don't think. Quarter past two. I don't believe it. You've got a potty mouth. You'd never know to look at you, Antonia.
No, Antonia's because her illness, she's been ill, but disabled her life, just strained, and she can't do anything. Just no matter what you are and what you feel, just go for everything.
Yeah, inspirational.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what about you, Antonia? What have you learnt from Blanca?
Oh, I've learnt a lot of things. Blanca is full of compassion, and she's a very good person. And I've learned how people from a relatively different background can
you know, they can show you things. They can show you how it's been to live under communism. Then your parents must have been brought up and lived under communism. And I think it shows itself, perhaps, not altogether in a bad way.
Mm. Yeah, but
and
what do you mean?
I've always been interested in the Czechs anyway, because I love Prague, and I just like people from different ways of life, ways of nationalities. All my life, I've sought out people, different people.
Yeah.
I think it's got to do with having this disability. I suffer from slight, I don't suffer, I have slight cerebral palsy, which in my day was called spastic.
Mm.
But I gather that's a dirty word to it. It has been for 50 years. Ever since my daughter was called something spastic in the playground.
Yeah.
And then she came home very upset. She said, somebody called me a spastic, Mum, and you're a spastic.
Yeah. And anyway. But that's an interesting point you make. Obviously, you know, times have changed and different generations use different words, different things. Are there ever particular topics of conversation or subjects that the two of you can't really converse on because you are on a completely different page, as it were? Things that Blanca's not aware of or things that you're not aware of, Antonia?
Exactly.
Mm. Are there things,
maybe,
Blanca, that come
maybe
to mind?
Maybe it's politics. I'm not really into politics, and Antonia is, so sometimes I don't
know
what she's talking about. But
well, it's something we don't share, but then I can't expect you to be interested in English politics. Why should you be? You're so shitty anyway.
Language.
Yeah, language. We apologise if you've been offended.
I'm not going to apologise. It's a good old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon language.
I'm not gonna disagree with you, Antonio, I can tell you. What's so refreshing, I think, about meeting the pair of you and learning about your friendship is that sometimes, young and old, people can sometimes feel a little bit, I don't know, almost suspicious of meeting new people. They worry about their motives. Was that ever a concern for either of you?
No, not really. I think Antonia has got lots of young people around anywhere. So for her, it was just somebody new, you know, when I came in her life.
I think that's lovely, because sometimes I think different generations, people from different generations, can be suspicious of each other.
Yeah.
All young people today.
Really
and vice versa. Young people have preconceptions about the older generation.
Well, some people are suspicious of people from Eastern Europe, too.
Well, there's that as well.
I mean, there's a double possibility for suspicion here, but neither exists.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
Does it?
Now, I understand congratulations are soon to be in order.
Congratulations, it's just a matter of bits of mind.
Well, I think congratulations are in order soon, because it's your birthday.
Soon
you'll be 84 in just a couple of weeks' time. And I know, Blanca, you like to help Antonia organise her party every year. So what are the plans for this year's celebrations?
Well, we don't really know, because
it's at the friend, but I'm helping to do some food, and I think there is some new people coming, are they?
There's always new people.
It's new.
Always like a bit of new blood.
Yes.
Every year is new people coming.
One of the people coming is John Potter and his wife.
Okay.
So I thought he was so nice.
Aww.
And, it's just like a bit of young new blood.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a vampire, doesn't it?
Just a little bit.
An elderly vampire.
We might have more wine and gin tonic this year.
One of the things we have been discussing today as part of our week-long look at the relationship between different generations is the use of social media and mobile phones. In fact, today we've dubbed Text Your Grandchild Day. Do you communicate in that way, or is it very much face-to-face or on the telephone?
By the telephone.
I don't have a mobile phone. Mm.
But you use your Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I use Facebook,
You have Facebook?
I have to know what my grandchildren are up to.
I'm surprised they've let you be their friend. I think I'm not sure I'd want my parents or grandparents seeing what I get up to.
You see, I've got a grandchild who lives in Germany. I don't see much of him, but I see less of him than the others.
So you must get quite an insight into his life through Facebook.
He's bilingual, so he translates things for me.
Wonderful.
And
so
I know
you get
about
to see
things about his parents don't know about him.
You've got the dirt.
But I don't tell them.
No.
I've got the dirt, yes.
That's what you like. like.
I like a bit of dirt.
I love it.
Thank
you. Oh, it's been a pleasure meeting you both. Thank you so much for coming in, and I hope you enjoy your party. I have a feeling you will. I have a feeling you are someone who knows how to have a good time, Antonia.
Every party is slightly better than the one before.
That's the way it should be. Antonia and Blanca, thank you so much.
My granddad, well, he's a bit funny. He sometimes even makes me laugh.
He always brings us presents.
My nan always makes me laugh by doing funny things at dinner time and lunchtime.
The Generation Game on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.
And today is Text Your Grandchild Day on our week, looking at relationships between the generations. I had this lovely text in from someone who sent a text to their grandchild earlier today, and they've had a reply. So we'll find out what they had to say very shortly. Now, though, texting, of course, just one of the many forms of communication which have opened up to us in the last 20 years or so. There's now a whole raft of social media you could also use, but it can be quite a personal choice. Mitch Egan is a retired prison officer who lives in Brighton. Her niece, Emma, recently graduated, and the pair are best of friends. What is unusual, though, is that Mitch loves using social media, but Emma hates it. We brought them together for a conversation about why it works for one of them and not the other.
You're probably one of the people I communicate with most on social media. I hate it.
I know.
It makes me feel ill. I feel uncomfortable. It's a necessary evil that I dabble in to varying degrees. But you're probably the person I use it most with. You and Mum.
I live a life online.
Yeah.
Which I think is increasingly something my generation does. Mm. Although I'm still the only person in my set, really, that uses things like Skype and Facebook and whatever. But I know that you communicate with me because it's a convenient method, not because you love it.
But saying that, I have really good friends who love it and maintain friendships, who create friendships using social media. And, you know, they're really meaningful friendships. I believe them in that, but I don't think I'm able to do it. It's like people who meet on the internet somehow because they have shared interests or something, and then they'll meet up in real life. Weird.
I have to say I'm with you on that one.
So weird. But, I mean, it works. Everyone's, you know, everyone's different.
Oh, don't you think that's because two nerdy people have found each other?
No, I think it can be anything. It can be anything. That's how people, look, you know, it's like kind of dating, isn't it? Like when you, it's blind dating. Like
dating.
Yeah, but I mean, if it works for, say, people, yeah, all of my friends are obsessed with Tinder.
But I'd never heard of Tinder.
Yeah.
So I went for a look, as you do.
Well, are you on Tinder?
No.
That would be amazing. I would love it if you were on Tinder.
That's so funny that they're talking about Tinder. Isn't it funny when you haven't ever heard of something and then everyone's talking about it? So I had a look at what Tinder was last night. Well, do you know what Tinder is? Go and have a look. Go and have a look. See what you make of it. So I rather naively thought, oh, it's a dating app. Well, it is of sorts, I suppose. I'll let you take a look at that yourself, I think, probably for the best. I'd love to have a chat to you, though, about social media. Do you use it in order to keep in touch with your grandchildren? Today is Text Your Grandchild Day. Bob in Skeynes Hill has got in touch to say, I texted my 24-year-old granddaughter. Here's the text I got back. Oh, that's lovely, Grandad. Have a good day. Love you. See you soon. Love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Aw. Now it's time to have a closer look at the relationship between my own son, Harry, and his granddad, my father. Here's a little conversation that I recorded between the two of them.
Harry, what's your idea of a perfect day?
Going to the dinosaur park.
Mm-hmm. Who would you like to go there with?
Grandad.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. And what would you eat when you got there?
Grandad biscuits.
What's a Grandad biscuit? I've never heard of them.
In Grandad's pocket. What is your idea of a perfect day?
My idea of a perfect day is to wear my magic shirt, the one that Grandad Biscuits grow in the top pocket of, and go to a dinosaur world with Harry and Lois. Can you tell me something that you can do that I don't know about?
I can count back to 100.
That's very good.
Can you tell something I don't know about you?
It's a tricky question. Did you know I've not got any hair?
I knew that.
Do you know where I could get some?
Well, next.
Okay, I'll go round there tomorrow and see if I can get some more. Do you know how old I am?
14.
Thank you very much. That'll do for me. Do you know what job I do?
Boarding.
Building. Ah, yeah, I suppose that's good. Yeah, that's close enough. And do you know where I was born?
No, I don't.
Do you know which country it was?
I know. Scotland.
That's good. And what country were you born in?
England.
And what do you know about Scotland? What's different about the people in Scotland? Do they dress differently?
You get sea monsters.
Sea monsters. And do the men wear kilts?
What?
Do the men wear kilts? Have you ever seen a Scotsman wearing a kilt?
Yeah. I've got a teddy that wears one. What do you like about me?
I like everything about you. Except when you're a wee bit naughty sometimes and a bit stubborn. But that's not necessarily a bad point. And what do you like about me?
I like you because you've got chocolate biscuits in your pocket.
That's very honest, Harry, very honest. And what don't you like about me?
I don't like Grandad when he's sad. When somebody's naughty to somebody. Have you got any advice for me?
Yeah, you should be a good boy and do as your mummy and daddy tell you. And be nice to your little sister. Have you got any advice for me?
Yeah, and buy more Grandad biscuits.
I don't have to buy them. I've got the magic. They grow in my top pocket. They do.
No, they don't.
How do we keep in touch with each other, Harry?
I can't remember. I was in touch. I can't remember what's in touch.
We keep in touch by telephone.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And sometimes you come round here. And sometimes I go to your house.
And sometimes you have sleepovers.
That's correct. And next year, we'll be able to keep in touch by writing to each other when you've learned to write, and maybe even send each other emails. And when you're a bit older and you've got grandchildren, how do you think you'll communicate with them?
Put them upstairs and they can stay there for 8 days.
Would you like to get sent upstairs for 8 days?
No.
Why would you do it to your grandchildren?
Because they would be so naughty. How did you get on with your grandmother?
Well, I only ever met my two grandmothers. And I got on all right with them. But it's quite difficult to understand them sometimes because they talked in very broad Scottish accents.
Why?
Because they were Scottish, I suppose.
How did you keep in touch with your grandparents?
Well, they didn't live very far away. So the easiest way to keep in touch was to go to their house, or their houses. There wasn't really any other way of keeping in touch. There were telephones, but it was easier it was shorter to go to their house than it was to go to the telephone box. Because in those days, there was no mobile phones, and we didn't have a phone at home. So you had to go to the telephone box and put money in.
Well, I know already.
When I was your age, we didn't have a television. Or a refrigerator.
Did your food get cold?
We used to put anything that was like milk or butter, we put out on the windowsill outside in the wintertime to keep it cold.
But where would you put warm stuff?
Warm stuff you just put in the cupboard in the larder. And if I wanted to watch television, I used to go to the shop down the road and look through the window. So I couldn't hear anything, but I seen a lot of things silent. Films. And no computers. No iPads.
Were there any circuses?
Yeah, there was a circus. Used to visit the town sometimes, maybe once a year. And a fairground once a year. And there was cinemas. You could go to the cinema. And it was quite cheap to go on a Saturday morning. Well, they had children's programmes on the cinema, so you got the Saturday morning cinema. But that was about it, really.
Well, as you can see, Grandad biscuits are a very important currency in our household. That was Harry Sawtell, my little boy, talking to his granddad, my dad.
Well, this week, it's our Generation Game project on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey. Now, across the week, the radio station is taking a closer look at the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren in the modern world. Penny Bardsley from Worthing has a strong relationship with her 13-year-old granddaughter, Maya, and they got together to talk about their friendship.
Well, my name is Penny Bardsley, and I'll be 80 next August, and I'm very lucky. I have 6 wonderful children and 7 even more wonderful grandchildren who just make my life, and I don't know what I'd do without them. They're wonderful. In my younger days, I used to help them with all sorts of different things, and now I'm older and I can't see very well and I'm a bit arthritic and a bit asthmatic and I fall over things. And you're my crutch, you help me.
I'm Maya Bardsley and I'm 13.
What do you think you'll be like as a granny?
I don't think I'll be such a good knitter, unfortunately. Well, by then hopefully there'll be like hovercrafts and things, so maybe, yeah, I'll be like, be able to go like, you know, hover skateboarding.
So you'll take your grandchildren.
Be very active, like you know. I mean, you know, you went through that whole sort of speedy walking thing, and I couldn't even keep up with you. I had to sort of. So I think girls at school are like, oh, my granny always stays at home and things like that. Well, like with you, I'm like, oh yeah, I just went shopping with my granny. Oh yeah, we went to the theatre. Yeah. I think, like, having that, you know, being able to go out and things and having those hobbies and interests, I think I'll like hopefully have that with my grandchildren.
Oh, that's things good. That, you know, you pass the skills on, because they don't get passed on very much, do they?
Yeah.
No, that's good. That's good. Well, my granny always used to say to me, and I didn't understand what the hell she meant when she said it. I do know now. She said, oh, darling, she said, I'll never be dead while you're alive. And I didn't know what she meant. And, of course, she meant that she's passed on all her feelings. She wrote me a beautiful book when I was about 12 or 13, and it was a book with all different coloured pages and all the sayings. She was always having sayings. And I was only thinking of this the other night. I ought to have done that for you. Like, may you always have sunshine in your heart.
Well, there's still time, Granny.
I know.
Nudge, wink, wink.
I can't write anymore, can I, really? My hands are just...
We can type.
Oh, I can type, yes, of course. I can do it on the computer. But her, she used to write, and... Yeah. I owe my success in life for being a quarter of an hour beforehand, and...
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
That's
one.
Right. And quick's the word and smart's the action. Well, she used to say, quick's the word, smart's the action. I didn't know what the hell it meant, but I knew I jolly well had to get on quickly and do what she told me. It was, quick is the word, smart is the action. I tell you something quickly, you respond quickly. And all those sort of things she used to write in a book.
Or suffer the consequence.
Yes, yes. And then I remember all those sayings and things. And, of course, if I don't pass them on to somebody else, they'll have gone. You know, they'll be lost. I think it's a bit the same with you. I think because of a lot of our interests, we've grown together with the cooking and the making and the mosaic and the sewing and all that sort of stuff. You'll carry on and hopefully teach your grandchildren.
I don't think I could ever quite live up to you. Like, I don't think I could be as good as you, Granny.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
You're such a super granny.
Oh, Maya. I love you to pieces.
Well, that was Penny Bardsley and granddaughter Maya talking about their relationship. You can hear more from Penny and Maya on Danny Pike's Mid-Morning Show on Friday, and there'll be more from the Generation Game all week on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.
Our Generation Game week continues tomorrow, asking whether different generations have the same sense of humour.
And all that faff with the coat, you know, the coat, that was rubbish, I didn't get it.
Find out what happens when we take grandparents and their grandchildren to see two very different comedy nights.
It seems to go down well here, it doesn't go down well with me.
And in the afternoon show, two comedians born decades apart will try to make Alison Ferns laugh.
The Generation Game
continues this Wednesday on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.